It's funny to think that the year has almost ended.
Why so sad suddenly?
Oh, I don't know.
I love you when your mouth gets all wrinkled like that. Did anybody tell you you look like a small baby sometimes?
Small baby. Honestly, the things you say.
That's what we are going to have, Jimmy Cooper. Lots and lots and lots of small babies. Oh, darling, don't let Daddy frighten you. We are going to get married, aren't we?
We've got to, Mary. We've got to. I couldn't live without you, honest.
That's settled, then. No, stay where you are. We're going to have a snowball fight.
Be careful, love. It's slippery.
On the count of three, we both take aim.
Right.
One, two, three. Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy. Don't die. Don't die.
It's time for you to take your place on the jury as Bristol Myers, makers of new Boat toothpaste, invite you to consider your verdict.
Are you old enough to vote?
You mean vote the adult toothpaste?
Sure. Watch.
Three, two, one.
Wow! Vote's icy taste explosion sure takes the fog out of your mouth.
Right. Vote more than cleans, more than whitens, more than freshens.
Takes the fog out of your mouth.
So wake up to new whiteness, new freshness. Wake up to vote.
I've just showered, and my hair still feels full of yesterday's grease.
Feels like layer upon layer?
Yes.
So you score. Washes clean out every time, just with the water.
You mean my hair will be clean every day? I don't have to worry about greasy buildup?
Right. Score gives you the clean look, the look of today.
There's no greasy buildup when you use Score.
And who needs yesterday's look when there's Score?
Beloved gentlemen of the jury, in rising to lead evidence for the Crown, I think it incumbent upon me to confess that I spent many hours searching into my conscience before I accepted the brief offered. Why? Because the prisoner at the bar, Gordon Hamilton Ballantyne, is known to me socially. In fact, he's a member of at least two clubs to which I happen to belong. However, were I to refuse this brief, then, my lord, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, there would be the implication that while I did not condone the killing, I had no wish to see the prisoner punished for his crime. That he should be punished, if he is indeed guilty, as I think he is, goes without saying. Heaven forbid that society allows the individual to judge and wreak punishment on their fellow men, for then we revert back to the law of the jungle. Let me say at the outset that the victim was a decent young man, 28 years of age. It's common cause that he died from a gunshot wound. Now, why did Ballantyne shoot James Cooper? We are convinced that after you've heard all the relevant facts, you will have no doubt in your minds that the man in the dock committed murder rather than allow his daughter Mary to marry the man she loved. For you will hear from this young woman's own lips that her love for Cooper was deep and decent and true. And what was the obstacle? Why did Ballantyne object to the marriage? It seems extraordinary that in this year of grace, 1968, Ballantyne should refuse to accept Cooper as a prospective son-in-law because of his different social and economic background. I do not propose at this stage to elaborate on the opportunity the accused had for killing his victim, nor will the Crown introduce the question appertaining to the means of the killing. All three, motive, opportunity, and the means, will be self-evident as the trial proceeds. With the Court's permission, I now call my first witness, Miss Mary Ballantyne. Miss Ballantyne, your very arrival in the witness stand has created a most unusual situation. May we establish the fact that you are a voluntary witness for the prosecution, charging your father with an act of murder?
Yes. He killed the man I was going to marry.
Why don't you believe that this is all the same? I did not kill the boy.
Silence, be calm.
No one is more conscious of the charged atmosphere in this court. An atmosphere that is inevitable when the chief witness for the Crown is the only child of the prisoner at the bar. Nevertheless, the proceedings will be conducted calmly and dispassionately. Mr. Ballantyne, you will refrain from interjecting while evidence is being taken. And may I suggest to you, Miss Ballantyne, that you do not attempt to prejudge your father. Let the court resolve the problem of your fiancé's death. It is in your own interest that I suggest that you just answer the questions both counsel will put to you, and let the jury arrive at its own conclusions. Are you ready to proceed?
Yes, my lord.
Ask your questions, Mr. Makepeace.
As your lordship pleases. Miss Ballantyne, before we dwell on what must have been one of the most painful experiences in your young life, I refer to the killing of your fiancé, let us establish the kind of relationship you had with the now dead young man.
I've known him all my life, except for the time he went to Liverpool and then in the army.
How old are you, Miss Ballantyne?
23.
And your fiancé?
28.
When you say that you knew the late James Cooper all your life, do you mean that literally?
Yes. When I was born, Jimmy was living with his father. He was 5 years old. His father used to be Daddy's gardener. He lived in a cottage at the end of the drive. That's where he died.
How old were you when Mr. Cooper Sr. died?
10. He died of a heart attack, and Jimmy went to live with his uncle and aunt in Liverpool.
I see. Thank you. That meant that young James Cooper was 15 when he went to Liverpool.
Yes.
As children, did you play together?
He was like an older brother. I never forgot him.
You say that Cooper went to Liverpool when he was 15 and you were 10. When did you see him again?
I didn't see him again until... until he returned to Guildford.
Did you correspond in the meantime?
No.
How did you know that Cooper had returned to Guildford?
It was such a surprise. There was a funny noise in my car, and I took it into a garage I'd never been in before. It said, Surrey Motors Limited.
Can I help you?
Yes, please. There's a...
What? You're Mary. Mary Ballantyne.
Yes, that's right. Why?
I can't believe it. The last time I saw you, you were wearing pigtails.
Jimmy Cooper! When did you get back? Are you working here?
I've been here a fortnight.
Oh, James Cooper, you're a pig. Do you mean to say that you've been back from Liverpool for 2 weeks and you haven't tried to get in touch with us?
I haven't been to Liverpool for years. I joined the army. Signed on for 7 years. I got my discharge about a month ago. I bought this place. Well, it's only a dump, really. An old shack and a couple of petrol pumps. But by the time I finish with it, it's going to be the best repair shop in Guildford.
I'm sure it is. But why didn't you telephone?
Oh, I don't know. Too shy, really.
Oh, too shy. Oh, Jimmy, you must come to dinner. Or come on Sunday and spend the day off or something.
Well, it's very kind of you. But are you sure it'll be all right?
It seems silly, I suppose. But as soon as I set eyes on him, I knew that I loved him. Had always loved him. Even when we were small children.
When was this? When did Mr. Cooper return to Guildford?
February last year. About the second or the third.
And from that day on, you saw each other frequently?
Every day. Every single blessed day. Until he was shot.
Thank you. I want now to refer to the day when James Cooper accepted your initial invitation to visit you at your home. He called the following Sunday, did he not?
Yes. He came to lunch. It rained solidly all day, and we spent most of the afternoon by the fire reminiscing. At first, I thought Daddy, my father, liked him. They seemed to get on so well.
So you became a regular soldier, Cooper, huh?
Yes, sir. I didn't want to stay with my uncle and aunt. He was finding it very difficult to make ends meet. He was only a dock laborer, sir. I decided to sign on what they call short service. 7 years.
Seems incredible. I remember bouncing your money less than a month after you were born. My wife, rest her soul, was alive then. What arm did you join in Madrid?
Royal Armored Corps, sir. That's where I learned all about driving and maintenance and the like.
Driving and maintenance and the like. Tell Daddy about your commission.
Commission? You became an officer?
Yes, sir.
What rank did you achieve?
By the time I left, I became temporary captain.
Well, I'll be... Your father would have been proud of you, Cooper. In my day, it wasn't easy for someone with your background to become an officer.
You mean not having the right accent and going to the right school?
Oh, Daddy, that's awfully snobbish.
Nonsense, girl. It's not snobbish at all. It makes your promotion all the more praiseworthy. Oh, good heavens. I don't want to appear churlish as a host, but Michael is fetching us at 7 o'clock, Mary. You know how long it takes you to get ready.
It was only then, when my father mentioned Michael Lamprey, that I realized I was revealing my feelings for Jimmy.
Michael Lamprey.
Lord Lamprey's son. My father was keen that I marry him.
When did you get engaged? Soon after you became reunited.
Oh, no. Jimmy never once said anything other than express affection. His attitude was that of an elder brother until last October. He telephoned to say he wanted to see me urgently.
Look at it. All mine. Lock, stock, and barrel.
What do you mean? This garage was yours before, wasn't it?
In name only, Mary. Yesterday I paid the bank the last installment. Now I can really call myself my own boss. I'm changing your name to James Cooper Limited.
I'm so happy for you.
One day, it'll be James Cooper and Sons Limited. That's if you... Oh, Mary, will you marry me?
Oh, you know I will. Oh, Jimmy. Jimmy, this is what I've wanted all my life. I know it now.
Darling.
Say it again.
Darling.
Do you know that's the first time you've called me that?
How soon did you tell your father?
I told Daddy as soon as I got back.
And what did he say?
He said I was sentimentalizing our childhood together. Said he would horsewhip Jimmy. Said he was a fortune hunter after his money. He said some terrible, terrible things.
I know how painful all this must be for you, Miss Valentine. But I must bring to your mind what is probably the most painful experience of your young life.
You mean the day Jimmy was shot?
Yes. Yes, I do. Until that fatal day, you continued to see a great deal of each other.
Yes. Daddy threatened to turn me out. Cut me off in his will. He didn't seem to realize that Jimmy and I were drawn together like magnets. It was something beyond our control. I didn't want to disobey my father, but I was over 21, and he knew that if he went on insisting, I would leave home or get married by special license.
Why didn't you do that?
Because I didn't want to be a financial burden on Jimmy. We planned to get married sometime next May. Jimmy was confident that by then he would make enough money to keep us both.
I see. Thank you. Now, on Saturday, December the 30th, 1967, you and your fiancé decided to go for a walk through Cranley Woods.
Yes.
For how long did you walk?
Oh, about a mile. And then we sat on a tree trunk. It looked so wonderful. The snow really did lie on the ground, deep and crisp and even. Jimmy read to me of it.
The lovely Lady Christabel, whom her father loves so well. What makes her in the woods so late? A furlong from the castle gate. She had dreams all yesternight of her own betrothed knight. And she in the midnight wood will pray for the weal of her lover that's far away.
But it isn't midnight, and you're not far away.
But I am your lover.
You and no one else. Forever and ever.
I don't deserve it. I can't believe that 1967 has been so wonderful to me. I'm afraid. I don't want the year to end somehow.
Oh, what a sad suddenly.
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps your father is right. Perhaps I'm ruining your life.
In order to change his mood, I suggested we have a snowball fight. And then... oh, we were so happy, laughing. And then a shot rang out. And Jimmy, he fell to the ground. But I must have become hysterical. I was shouting help and please. I pulled myself together, rushed onto Godalming Road, stopped a car, and the gentleman came back with me. Jimmy was dead. It didn't matter how long we took to get a doctor after that.
Thank you. That is all, Miss Valentine.
The court will adjourn.
And so the court adjourns in the trial of Gordon, Hamilton, and Valentine for the murder of James Cooper. This dramatized version is brought to you by Bristol Myers.
Man, I'll always be dry. I use Dry Man.
With the first and only ABS formula for men. The most powerful ever put in a can. Made to keep you real dry.
Dry Man's more than a deodorant. Gives a guy masculine freshness and dryness.
Dry Man gets fresh. He keeps dry. See right away he's a real dry guy.
Dry Man ABS.
It really keeps you dry.
Brace yourself. I'm going to brush with new Volt toothpaste again.
3, 2, 1.
Boy, Volt's icy taste explosion sure gives your mouth a workout.
Right. Volt more than cleans, more than whitens, more than freshens.
Gives your mouth a workout.
So wake up to new whiteness, new freshness. Wake up to Volt.
If you're old enough.
Volt.
And now, back to the courtroom. The trial is once more in session. Counsel for the defense commences his cross-examination.
Miss Valentine, you owned a Scottish terrier called Binky?
Yes.
Is the dog alive?
No.
Is it not true that you came across its torn carcass in Cranley Woods?
Yes.
When?
On Christmas Day.
What were the circumstances?
After our Christmas dinner, my father and I went for our customary walk through the woods.
What a magnificent Christmas day it is. Quite picture postcard. You haven't said a word since we left the house.
You could at least have allowed me to invite Jimmy to spend Christmas Day with us.
Now, Mary, we've gone over all that. You've disobeyed me every other day, surely.
I'd have disobeyed you today if you hadn't brought up the memory of the Christmas days we've spent when Mummy was alive.
Do you think your mother would approve of you throwing your life away on a get-out hen?
Look, Daddy, it's Christmas. Peace on earth and
good heavens.
Oh, it's Binky.
No, no, don't touch it. We've got to find that mad dog.
Oh, look at her. Poor Binky.
It was generally agreed that your pet had been savaged by a mad dog that was known to be running wild in Cranley Woods.
Yes.
Did not your father say that they must capture the dog and destroy it before a human being was killed?
Yes.
Miss Valentine, your father says that he fired at this dog that had been a danger and had no intention of hurting any human being. Why cannot you accept his version of the incident?
Because I think he shot Jimmy deliberately, that's why.
That is all.
I now call Inspector Benjamin Keeler. Inspector, when did you first hear of the shooting of James Cooper?
On the afternoon of December 30, 1967.
And who was your informant?
The prisoner. Gordon Hamilton Ballantyne.
Will you tell us of the circumstances?
Certainly. I was at Guildford CID headquarters when I was told I was wanted on the telephone. Inspector Keeler here.
Oh, Inspector, something dreadful has happened. I had to get through to you personally. This is Major Ballantyne.
Oh? Accident? You say something dreadful.
Yes, a shocking accident. I was after that mad dog in Cranley Woods.
Did you get him?
Well, that's just it. My daughter's come home to say that her fiancé has been shot. I would never forgive myself if... You see, I was in that area of the woods. I heard no other firing, other than from my rifle, that is. I could be responsible for that young man's death.
Well, at first it seemed a likely explanation. Major Ballantyne was out shooting. His daughter and her fiancée, unaware of this, go for a walk, and the boy gets shot. At worst, gross carelessness on the part of Ballantyne. But then we begin to hear a thing or two, until it adds up to murder.
Go on.
Well, it seemed to me that Ballantyne was a little too brazen. He telephones me as head of the division, knowing that the bullet found in the man's body will be traced to his rifle. Besides which, when I spoke to Miss Ballantyne... You say you shouted help and police?
Yes.
Very loudly?
I was hysterical.
Mm. Did you know that your father had gone shooting? That he was in the woods?
What do you mean, my father? What are you trying to say?
Hasn't he told you? It was he that fired the rifle.
He murdered him. My father killed him.
I began to make further inquiries and decided it was no accident.
Thank you. That is all. Inspector, were you astonished that my client did not tell his daughter that his was the rifle that killed her fiancé?
Well, you'd think it would be the natural thing to do.
Come, come, Inspector. His bereaved daughter in an overwrought condition. Now, supposing Major Ballantyne had not telephoned. Supposing he had quietly gone home, cleaned his rifle, and awaited developments. Could you have proved that there were no other guns in the area when Cooper was killed?
We think so, sir. Miss Ballantyne heard one shot. And only one shot had been fired from her father's rifle.
Are you not forgetting that my client did not know whether he was responsible or not? And that is why he sought your aid?
I'm not forgetting anything, sir. We believe he trailed these two, waited until his daughter was safely at a distance, and then fired to kill that young man. It's one of the oldest tricks in the history of crime, to murder, and then to plead it was an accident.
Why do you believe all that?
I beg your pardon?
A simple question. Why have you decided that Major Ballantyne, a respected member of the community, would commit murder?
Because, sir, although we have since managed to trap and destroy the dog that was causing so much harm, we don't believe that Major Ballantyne would go out on a winter's day when the snow lay thick on the ground and the possibility of being able to trap and destroy the dog almost non-existent. He says he fired at the dog. But when we examined the area where he claims to have seen the dog running, there were no signs of snow being disturbed in any way.
When did you examine the area? Soon after the shooting?
No, sir. By the time we'd taken a statement from Major Ballantyne, it was too dark. We went with him the following day.
The weather was clear after the snowfall, but blustery. Would you agree?
Yes.
Therefore, the wind would have shifted the snow lying on the ground, covering any tracks, surely?
No, I don't think so, sir.
That is all.
Now, that closes the case for the Crown, my lord.
Defense? My lord, it is our case that the shooting of James Cooper was a most unfortunate accident, and that the charge against my client is based on an accusation made by his own daughter, who it must be remembered...
Come, come, you know better than that. This is not the time for your closing speech. Now, have you any witnesses you wish to call?
Yes, my lord. The prisoner at the bar, Major Gordon Hamilton Ballantyne. Major Ballantyne, why did you ring Inspector Keeler? Why did you not report the matter at the station?
I'm not a fool, sir. The whole of Guildford was aware of my feelings towards young Cooper.
What were your feelings?
Now, look, everyone is making me out to be an unmitigated snob. All I wanted was for my daughter's happiness. She's my only child. When I'm gone, she will inherit considerable estates and a great deal of money. Until Cooper came on the scene, it looked very much as though she and Michael Lambrick would reach an understanding. The Lambries have been in Surrey longer than the Ballantynes. After all, most of my estates are in Scotland. I look forward to both strains, the Lambries and the Ballantynes, uniting into a common heritage. A heritage of breeding and... Well, I'm proud of our lineage. Is that so wrong? Does that make me the monster the police say that I am?
I trust the jury will answer your question in the negative. Now, did you know that your daughter and Cooper were going for a walk in the woods that afternoon?
No, I did not.
But your daughter says you did.
She's distraught, imputing motives that are as fantastic as they are unfair.
Why did you come to shoot at that particular moment, from that particular spot?
I heard a distant barking, and I saw something streak across the snow, and I fired.
How far away was this something? Was it a dog?
I think so. An animal emerged from the thicket. As I say, it streaked across the snow and went into a clump of trees. It was about 250 yards away.
But when Cooper was shot, he was, according to the police drawings, nearly 400 yards away.
Well, I dropped to one knee and I fired. Once I missed my target, the velocity sent the trajectory.
Just a moment. What do you mean by trajectory?
Well, the path of flight.
I see. Go on.
Well, heaven help me, there was sufficient impetus for the bullet to speed to the distance where young Cooper was standing. But it was an accident, I tell you, a tragic accident.
For which you will pay with remorse for the rest of your life.
More than that. Whether you find me guilty or not guilty, I have lost the love of my daughter. She believes I am guilty. I cannot get her to believe otherwise.
I am sure that the jury believes in your innocence. That is all.
And I am sure that the confidence expressed by my learned friend is misplaced. Tell me, what's the size of Cranley Woods, Major Valentine?
It's about 750 acres. It's not a big wood.
There are many trees, much vegetation.
Well, not in winter. There are many trees.
With a recent snowfall covering the dog's tracks, how on earth could you have hoped to trail this dog in order to destroy it? Where would you look?
Were you keen on shooting, sir? You would realize that I did not regard my search for the mad dog as an arduous task. It's a crisp, cold day. My motive was to hunt down the dog and shoot it. But I found the prospect of the hunt rather pleasing. I hadn't great hopes of finding the animal. On the other hand, I swear to heaven that I thought I was the only human being in that area, and that I was firing at my prey.
Your prey being James Cooper.
No, sir.
You couldn't bear the thought of someone you regarded as a social upstart, a fortune hunter, marrying into the Valentine family.
I could not bear the thought. But I did not kill because of it.
But you did kill, didn't you?
It was an accident, I tell you.
Was it, Major Valentine? Was it?
Well, you have heard all the relevant facts. What is your verdict? Would you say that Gordon Hamilton Ballantyne was guilty or not guilty of the murder of James Cooper? In a moment or two, we shall give you the verdict recorded in the actual trial on which this dramatic presentation is based.
Are you old enough to vote?
You mean vote the adult toothpaste? Sure. Watch.
3, 2, 1.
Vote's icy taste explosion sure takes the fog out of your mouth.
Right. Vote more than cleans, more than whitens, more than freshens.
Takes the fog out of your mouth.
So wake up to new whiteness, new freshness. Wake up to vote.
Man, I'll always be dry. I use Dry Man.
With the first and only ABS formula for men. The most powerful ever put in a can. Made to keep you real dry.
Dry Man's more than a deodorant. Gives a guy masculine freshness and dryness.
Dry Man gets fresh. He keeps dry. See right away he's a real dry guy.
Dry Man ABS.
It really keeps you dry.
Well, what was your verdict? In the actual trial on which this dramatic presentation is based, the jury found that Gordon Hamilton Ballantyne was not guilty of the murder of James Cooper. ¶¶